I want to try a little free association. If I say Texas, you say George W. Bush, LBJ, big. Those were the first three words that popped into my colleagues' minds. There's one man who knows better than most the outsized influence of Texas and Texans on American politics. He's the state's former Lieutenant Governor, Ben Barnes. He's written a political memoir called Barn Burning, Barn Building, and he joins me now from Austin. Welcome to the program, Mr. Barnes.
Thank you very much. I'm so honored to be here.
What is it that makes Texas such a breeding ground for national politicians? The two presidents, Bush, come to mind, LBJ, and then back during the 50s, Texas had Sam Rayburn as House Speaker and Lyndon Johnson as Senate Majority Leader.
Well, and even to go back to the 30s, John Nance Garner from Texas was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's vice president for one term. I think the real reason, if you go back to the 30s and the 40s and 50s, that Texas dominated the American political scene was because people that served in the United States House of Representatives and served in the United States Senate from Texas, by and large, had relatively easy jobs of getting reelected, and they built a great deal of seniority. And as a result, they controlled the committees in the United States Congress and had a majority leader in the Senate. And those were all very powerful positions. When I was elected to the state legislature and then later served as Speaker of the House, the first time I went to Washington to work on a project, we had seven chairmen in the United States Congress. Today, after the delay redistricting, Texas, the second largest state, only has one chairman.
Now, why was it so easy for Texans to be reelected back then?
Well, I think that a lot of people followed Mr. Rayburn's advice that he, as he campaigned through Texas for the various and sundry congressmen, he'd always say, he said man then, and it didn't say person or didn't say man and woman, but he said, elect a smart man very young and then keep him there and let him represent you forever.
Let's talk a little bit about Sam Rayburn. He served in Congress for nearly 50 years, and you write that there's never been another like him.
Well, Sam Rayburn was a very, very young man when he got elected to the Texas House of Representatives. I think he was 24 years old, and he served only two terms and then was elected Speaker. He was elected Speaker of the House in Texas at 29, then went on to be elected to Congress. And Mr. Rayburn was married for only 4 months one time. He was a devoted bachelor. He lived and breathed and drank politics. He stayed in the Speaker's office 18 hours a day. He had a boardroom down below the Speaker's office where he served bourbon and scotch to the congressman that he was trying to influence and persuade and the members of his team. And so his life was politics, and as a result, he was very, very effective.
Now, you followed a similar political course as he did. I don't know about serving the bourbon in your office, but you were very young when you were first elected to the Texas House.
I was 22, and I've always considered it to be a real honor and a great deal of luck to beat Mr. Rayburn's record as Speaker, because I was elected Speaker at 26 and Mr. Rayburn was 29. But that's where the comparison stops. He was a great man and a great leader.
You learned an important political lesson from him early in your career.
Yes, I did, and it was a political lesson that I didn't realize was going to become a reality more than any political lesson perhaps I learned. In 1960, after I was elected to the House and I'd not taken the oath of office, Mr. Rayburn came to dedicate a dam in Central Texas where I lived. And it was a rainy day, and Mr. Rayburn got off the airplane. My car was parked there along with a lot of other automobiles. Mr. Rayburn didn't like to fly, and it had been a rough flight, obviously. When the door of the plane opened, Mr. Rayburn just bounced out of that plane and got in the first car he came to because it was raining. Well, it happened to be my car. And there I was in my green 1956 Ford, not ever having served a day in the Texas legislature, and I was driving the Speaker of the House to this dedication. Well, I was grasping at what to say, and so I finally said, because the campaign had just been over, I said, Mr. Speaker, what kind of president do you think that Jack Kennedy is going to make? And he said, oh, I think he'll do all right. He said, I wish he was appointing more people to his cabinet that run for sheriff. But he turned then and grabbed a hold of with his left hand, my right knee, and he said, it's not so important who won that race. It's important that Richard Nixon was defeated. And he said, I'll tell you, young man, you are going to be around in politics, and I probably won't be here, but Richard Nixon will be trying to make a comeback someday, and if he does, you got to promise me you'll do everything you can to make sure he's defeated, because if he's elected, he may well destroy the office of presidency. He's a very evil man. And I remembered that forever, and lo and behold, I didn't realize that 12 years later, my political career was going to come to an end at the hands of Richard Nixon.
We'll come back to that here in a little while. But first, I want to get a better picture of Texas politics from you. Ben Barnes, you know, today we think of Texas as a Republican state. But for a long time, Texas, like many southern states, was solidly Democratic. You were, you know, a Democratic leader of the House there and the lieutenant governor. But at that time, the Democrats were split between conservatives who were aligned with the business interest in the state and the more liberal or progressive wing of the party. Yet the party still seemed to hang together.
Well, we fought like hell over a lot of the issues. But when it really got down to it and it came time to Democrats to unite, then we could normally get a harmonious relationship to accomplish in the election of a Democrat or accomplish something that was very important to the state. But Texas, even in my time, was becoming more and more of an independent state, not necessarily a Republican state at that time. But Texans began to pride themselves in being independent. And if you could walk that line between the liberal and conservative Democrats and between the independents, you could do well at the ballot box. And I was very successful in doing that in 1969, my first campaign for lieutenant governor. But people had a tendency to, I use that as an example, because people had a tendency to look at the individual as just as much as they did their party affiliation. There was not really strong party discipline in the Democratic Party, and certainly not in the Republican Party as we see now, where I think there's probably, they've turned party discipline into an art of perfection.
Now, for the conservatives, LBJ, or for the conservatives in Texas in particular, LBJ did the unthinkable when he agreed to be on the ticket with John Kennedy. Tell us how that affected the party.
Well, there were a lot of people that were disappointed because President Johnson had obviously campaigned against John Kennedy very, very hard and had run a good campaign. But it was a great thing that Lyndon Johnson took the vice presidency, and it was a great thing for Texas. It was a great thing for the Democratic Party. It was very good for John Kennedy, because without Texas, Kennedy would not have been elected president, and Nixon would have been elected president in 1960. So it worked out very well. The tragedy of Jack Kennedy's death is something that we'll always live with, and we'll always wonder what if. There's a lot of things I talk about in my book, what if something had been done different. Jack Kennedy might still be here today. But Lyndon Johnson, through that tragedy, was propelled into the office of the presidency and was going to be able to do so many wonderful things for a lot of people who'd never had anyone that to reach the White House that had the political knowledge that Johnson had and knew how to get things done. And as a result, the Voting Rights Act and the civil rights legislation that passed in the mid-1960s stand as probably some of the most important legislation that's passed in the past 100 years in America.
But at the same time, the effect of him backing that legislation and pushing that legislation really angered people in his own party, the conservative wing of the Democrats in Texas.
Yes, it did. And President Johnson, I remember a discussion with him late one evening in the White House when he said, "Ben, I know full well that I'm doing a lot of damage to you and to the Democrats in Texas and to the Democrats in the South." He said, "I'll tell you, I think it won't surprise me if the South turns Republican and stays Republican for the next 20 or 30 years. But I hope you understand that it's more important to pass this civil rights legislation is than it is even which party is going to govern in the South."
We're speaking with Ben Barnes, who's written a political memoir called Barn Burning, Barn Building. You talk so much in your book about how both President Johnson and Governor John Connally were able to bridge the divide between the conservative and more liberal wings of the Democratic Party. And then, lo and behold, Governor Connally goes to work for President Nixon and then joins the Republican Party. Did you ever consider switching parties yourself when you saw this start to happen?
No, I didn't. I think it disappointed Governor Connally, and he talked to me about that, and he had some Republican leaders in Texas to call me and talk to me about becoming a Republican, but I never really considered it. I became a Democrat, and when I was at age seven, when we had a farm that did not have electricity, and we had kerosene lamps, and when I looked up that day and saw that REA, Rural Electrification Co-op, coming and bringing electricity to our farmhouse, that I think I recognized that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president who had created the REA, had done such a great thing to provide electricity to rural Americans. I think I grew up believing that government should help people, not that we should let government control our lives, but the government has a responsibility to make certain that there are opportunities for all Americans. And I just don't think that the Republican Party has had that to be their main goal and objective. And I just could not see myself, with my social conscience that I had, I couldn't find a real role for myself in the Republican Party from a philosophical standpoint.
Let's talk now about President Nixon. Ben Barnes, you clearly hold him responsible for your political downfall. Here you were, this young, energetic politician who had the support of the likes of LBJ and John Connally. You were lieutenant governor, really looked like a strong candidate for governor, and you lost amid allegations of corruption. And you think that this was a deliberate political ploy by the Nixon administration.
Well, you can go to www.barnburningbarnbuilding.com and you can listen to the tapes, because on my website I have made it possible for the readers of this book and our listeners today, if they're interested in hearing two conversations between Richard Nixon and John Mitchell, which they are discussing bringing down the Democratic Party in Texas. There's a lot of evidence that to prove what I thought. And, of course, after John Mitchell...
And these are the Nixon White House tapes that came out
Nixon
because
White House
of Watergate, right?
Right, came out because of Watergate. And thanks to some research of students at the University of Texas and professors, we found these tapes.
So what did happen? What did they do?
Well, what happened is they came to Texas, and the conversation on the tape really lays it out very well. Mitchell said, well, Mr. President, we've been able to find that the Democratic governor and the Democratic chairman of the party and the Democratic speaker of the House have all been involved with a gentleman named Frank Sharp. And they have bought stock in his insurance company. He's financed it with loans from his bank, and then he has bought the stock back himself at a profit in return for passing a legislation that was a very unimportant piece of legislation. It allowed the state for permission to create a state FDIC to examine banks. He was very unhappy with the federal government examining his banks and being critical of the way he was running them. But the report Mitchell gave to Nixon that morning, he said, we've got them all and we're going to really, really take them down. And Nixon says, well, what about, I appreciate all that, but what about Barnes? And Mitchell says, well, Mr. President, I'm sorry to say that Ben Barnes is not involved with Frank Sharp. We can't find that he claims he's never met him, and we can't find any evidence that he ever did meet him or that he had anything to do with this legislation. At which Nixon says, well, I don't care about whether it's about that or not. Go get some stuff on Barnes. He's involved in some stuff. Get him. And so, you know, but what they did, they tied Sharp getting immunity to saying, well, he didn't ever have any dealings with me, but I've been told Ben Barnes is smarter than all the rest. He takes cash. And walking out of the room that day after he testified to that, his attorney said, you just heard the statement that got Frank Sharp immunity. That his willingness to say that about Barnes is the reason he's not going to be prosecuted.
And even though you were never charged or tried, the implication was you were involved in this corruption scandal.
Yes, it was. Not only was I not charged or tried, no investigator ever came to see me because they didn't have anything to ask me. But the damage had been done. Not only was I defeated, but every statewide Democrat running for re-election that had been in office was defeated. It was a scandal that embarrassed Texas, and a clean broom sweeps clean.
Why do you think it was President Nixon took aim at the Texas Democratic Party?
Well, I think that President Johnson said a very nice complimentary thing about me when he talked about that someday Ben Barnes is going to be president. And that put a target on my back from Nixon. And I had gotten a lot of national publicity. And you know, and Nixon, you got to understand, Nixon had lost Texas. And that was a great disappointment to him. Hubert Humphrey got more popular votes than Richard Nixon. And Nixon thought he was going to carry Texas for sure. And he didn't know what was going to happen in 72. He thought he might really have to carry Texas to be reelected in 72.
Ben Barnes, former Lieutenant Governor of Texas, his new book is Barn Burning, Barn Building. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.